Glory to you, God, whose power working in us is always doing more than we could ask for or even imagine. Amen. Well, this was not a typical day at the beach. There these disciples are standing around, probably in a daze. I'm guessing they were all on emotional overload. They had experienced one unexpected thing after the other. One expected thing after the other these past few weeks for them. Their entrance into Jerusalem with the waving of the palms and Jesus being acclaimed. Then the preparations for the Passover meal. And at that meal, the shock of Jesus kneeling before them and washing their dirty, filthy feet. And then, at the end of the meal, Jesus takes the unused bread and wine. He holds up the bread, prays, breaks it, and passes it around, saying, "Do this in remembrance of me." And then he takes the cup of wine, and he does the same. And he says, "And this is now a new covenant." It was an intimate moment with Jesus at that Last Supper. And then they're pushed into the unthinkable. And Jesus is arrested, and he suffers and dies on the cross. And they had been warned. Jesus had told them many times before that Last Supper, "We're going to go to Jerusalem. I will suffer and die and rise from the dead." But on this morning on the beach, they stand there in a daze. They are on emotional overload. They're trying to process all that they have gone through, including the news of an empty tomb and what to do with that resurrection appearance. It was just all too much, too hard to process. So Peter says, "I'm going fishing." And the others say, "We will go with you." Emotional overload. So I want you to think for a moment. When have you been on emotional overload? When you needed some time and space just to assimilate what you have gone through, all the events you've recently experienced. Things have happened to all of us when we reach a level of feeling and we just don't think we can handle one more thing. The human spirit is very, very fragile at times. So what are some of the moments that have overwhelmed you? Was it the news of a medical diagnosis that now scares you? Or a spouse that walked out of a marriage? Or is one of your children developing an eating disorder? Did you get a pink slip at work? Did a tragedy befall a loved one or friend? It could be a combination of things in your life. Maybe you were just too tired when it happened, when you got sick or fell, or you just heard too much bad news. In other words, there came a point when you didn't feel you could process one more thing. We all deal with emotional overload differently. Peter said he wanted to go fishing. When people do not know what to do, they do what they know. They turn to comfort of the familiar. So Peter was a fisherman, accustomed to the busy, physical, demanding life of the sea. We should expect him to grow restless when not working and welcome the busyness of boats and nets. So he and the other disciples took up their nets, rowed their boat, and went to go fishing. But what do you do? How do you seek comfort? Do you garden, pull weeds? Do you go shopping, go to the mall, go golfing? Do you turn on the TV and mindlessly search through the channels? Do you work longer hours? Do you drink more alcohol or take more drugs? For the disciples, they had gone fishing, but in going back, they actually met Jesus right where they were. That is the message. Wherever you are, Jesus is there. Jesus is here. But we don't always recognize how God comes to us or how God is with us. For the disciples coming to the shore, they didn't recognize Jesus at first. But we hear only one of them actually recognized the Lord, and we hear that he was the one that Jesus loved. And so he told Peter, "It's the Lord." The one who Jesus loved wrote this gospel. John had allowed himself to receive the love of Jesus. He did not put up barriers. He didn't try to do a mental gymnastics. He didn't try to reason. He simply received. A huge shift was happening in that moment, and John recognized it. It was not about more fish. It was not about breakfast on the beach. And it was Peter who needed and wanted to understand that something deeper was, in fact, going on. And we all have moments when we don't understand what God is up to. Why are we going through what we're going through? Last week, we had a friend of mine as our guest preacher, the Reverend Elizabeth Rector, and she talked of Thomas and how Jesus responded to what he needed. She spoke of the value of spiritual direction, a time when you share with someone trained who can listen to what is going on in your life and help you appreciate that God is in the midst of it all. God is present and doing something. And I call it transforming grace. So we are all invited, like the disciples, to experience this love of God in such a way that it changes us also. And we find the depths of our true selves. This happened to Peter when Jesus pulled him aside and asked him three times if he really, really loved him. Peter answered back, yes, three times in return. Was that to make up for the three times he had denied Jesus the night he was arrested? So in this intimate exchange, Peter is offered a way to be in relationship with Jesus, and it is offered to all of us. Serve. Serve God's people, serve the precious one, feed my sheep, tend my lambs. When I was in my 20s and developing as an artist, I was on my way with a friend to go landscape painting in Malibu. My friend's name was also Peter, and in my heart, I was hoping for more than a friendship. But along we drove as the sunset light cast beautiful colors on the ocean. And as we were driving, my friend Peter says to me, "Do you love Jesus?" And I quickly answered yes. Then he asked me a second time, "Do you love Jesus?" And I quickly answered, "Yes." Then he asked me a third time, "Do you love Jesus?" This time I did not answer right away. This gospel came right into my heart, and I sensed in that moment that I was being invited to make a new decision. I have never forgotten that moment, or how I felt when I was asked three times if I loved Jesus. But my third yes began a life-changing journey. And it has taken me all my life to learn to live that answer, that yes. To say to God, "I love you." To say to Jesus, "I love you. Show me how to feed your people." But feeding lambs and tending sheep also means establishing justice for the weak and the oppressed. And for myself, I would rather have ordinary, simple moments of service right in front of me than to have to stretch for the bigger picture that needs all of us to respond. One of the saddest chapters in church history was the way churches turned a blind eye to slavery. One of the most redeeming moments in the church's history has to do with Christians marching on the front lines of the American civil rights movements at a time when it was dangerous to march. When Jesus calls Peter and calls us to feed lambs and tend sheep, he is calling us to take care of one another, to serve one another, to serve beyond this church, to serve the needs of a world that is desperate. The disciples learned on the shores of the Sea of Tiberias, "Wherever you go, the Lord will be with you. In the midst of whatever you are doing." Albert Schweitzer, in his book, The Quest for the Historical Jesus, says, "And to those who obey Jesus, whether they be wise or simple, he will reveal himself in the toils, in the conflicts, the sufferings, which they will pass through in his fellowship, and they shall learn in their own experience who he is." Amen.